Well, the song came to me. I had an apartment at London, in London at that point, and I had gone back to London to just hang out, and I think we'd had a few shows there, and I was on a sort of an extended break, so I was writing, and you know, it came to me at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, and I was just sitting in a little room, dark, you know, very quiet, and the first three chords of the song just popped up, and I heard them. I thought, wow, that's interesting. I haven't heard sequence as an intro to anything before, and I think really that's what, you know, just that's what dictated the feeling of the song, and I felt it was something really. I felt something very strong when I was.
Right.
I kind of like, what is this? What is this?
Right.
And then gradually through the next couple of hours, I pretty much finished the song.
Well.
And I went into my wife, or soon to be my wife. She was asleep in bed, and I woke her up and I said, darling, I think I've got this really great song. And and she looked at me bleary eyed, and she said, well, what is it, what's it called? I said, I want to know what love is. And she sort of gave me an odd look and said, what do you mean, you want to, you don't know what love is with me? No, it's not. It's about you, yeah.
Well, but that, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, from there, the song, so again, it was leading me. I wasn't writing the song. The song was leading me, you know. It was such a powerful,
right,
soulful feeling. And I was at lunch a few days later, back in New York.
Right.
And one of the guys at lunch had just acquired a Gospel choir catalogue.
Okay.
And he mentioned to me, he said, well, I played the track. Actually, Jerry Wexler was there as well. At
right.
The time. And I played the track. He said, you know, I might, have you ever thought of putting a choir on there, maybe? And I said, well, I kind of had, because I was actually thinking it would be a great song for maybe if we could possibly even have Aretha Franklin sing on it, too.
Oh, wow.
And, and just through a series of little things like that, I suddenly got a whole bunch of albums sent over from this guy's office, and some of these great choirs were on it, and I chose one, the New Jersey Mass Choir, I think.
Okay.
It's called.
Okay. Now,
and the next thing I knew, we're in the studio, and I've got like 30 plus singers standing in front of me.
Right.
And it was a bit overwhelming, you know. I had never worked with a choir,
right?
And they had never worked in the studio with a rock musician on it, with a rock band, you know?
Right.
And it really was, I think, pretty much the first time that a gospel choir had appeared on a record with a rock band, I think. We just, you know, we started to routine the song, just check it out, and the choir were obviously a little bit overwhelmed by the circumstances, and so we did a couple of takes, and it was great, but it wasn't quite where it could be, we didn't think so.
Right.
We, leader of the choir said, I'd like to stop and just do something quickly. And they all got round in a big circle in the studio, and we all held hands. hands with them and said the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
And suddenly, the whole thing became magical. And, you know, I was in tears. I was crying. Mm-hmm. And, tears of joy, you know. And it was an overwhelmingly spiritual experience.
Well, great.
I think that's what sort of helps it, that gospel.
For sure.
Feel to it, you know. I think that's what made it, you know, more of a universal song, not necessarily about you know, love between a man and woman, but also love in its general context of love for the for your neighbor, love for your fellow man, you know. And I think that is where it sort of did change the song from being that personal relationship more to a universal feel.